Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life. This is my podcast where I talk to millennials about their lives and how they are managing young adulthood. Okay, so I want to get right into business today. No attempts at, you know, humorous anecdotal fluff today because, well, okay, this is an interesting episode today for a few reasons. And I don't know what percentage of people who listen to this podcast usually fast forward right about now to get to the guest and don't listen to the introduction. But if there was ever a time where I don't think you should do that, it would be for this episode. Because, you know, I get some people who tell me that, and I think I've talked about this before several times, and the only reason I bring it up is because, you know, I'm still insecure and unsure about it, but I get people who tell me that I shouldn't have an introduction and that they don't think that anyone cares about my individual thoughts in general or about the interview, and that a preface to, you know, who the interview is with isn't important. However, I also have people who say the opposite, and that they like an introduction to the guest and who they are, because it helps them, you know, be more interested and relate to the guest, who have almost always been just random, not publicly known people, and that they enjoy me giving my thoughts before the conversation about the conversation. And like I said, I'm not super confident in which way to do it. You know, there's some times where I'm like, no one cares or needs to know what I have to individually say. And then there's times where I think an introduction is needed because I get anxious that someone will misconstrue or misunderstand a point that I make in a conversation, that and that if I talk to you, the audience, directly before, instead of you just only listening to me talk to someone else, then maybe you'll, you know, understand me more. And that kind of brings me into why I think maybe this introduction is a little more important to listen to than some of the others I did, because in terms of what I just said about wanting to be more understood. Because, you know, in this podcast, it's a lot of me, right? I mean, it's a lot of me giving my opinions about things. I'm in every episode, you know. It's me mostly asking other people about their lives and asking people about their opinions, but I also give my opinions and talk about, you know, my beliefs and presenting all of those publicly. And at no point do I want anyone to confuse my willingness to talk about my opinions with me thinking that I am some authority or that I know more than people or that I fully believe everything I say as 100% truth. Generally what people believe and the opinions people have are indicative of their experience. And in the first episode, you know, I talked about how one of the ideas of the show is that I'm a 23-year-old kid who, compared to most people, knows nothing, and it's because I haven't had much life experience. And that the show is, you know, me exposing myself to you all while I'm trying to figure out how to be a person. And, you know, I recently listened to an episode of Pete Holmes's podcast, You Made It Weird, where he interviewed Bo Burnham, and it had a significant impact on me, like a paradigm shifting, mind altering effect. And one of the things that Pete talked about that I related to was, is it okay for him to record the times when he's wrong? And that if he's giving you everything of himself, wouldn't you want the parts where he fucked up too? Or when he was wrong about something, or when he was talking about something that's complicated and not so black and white, and that he may have not been completely right about to some people? So if it's okay for him to be wrong, shouldn't that mean it's okay for me to be wrong? And maybe even more so, since I've already established that I'm young and don't know much? Because, you know, and this is also something that Pete Holmes talked about in that podcast, is that, you know, that's how you learn, is by being wrong first. I think Pete offered some quote from a guy named Richard Rohr. A guy named Richard Rohr. He's an ordained priest. He's not just some guy. But the quote he offered was, we come to God not by getting it right, but by getting it wrong. And I think in this case, Pete said that God meant truth or enlightenment. You know, it's the whole you have to fall off a bike before you learn, which is the problem I have with, you know, social media and the modern education system, because mistakes in school are the worst thing you can do, and school is predicated on getting everything right, and you know, that's why a kid is afraid to raise his hand in class, because he's afraid to be judged and be wrong, which is, you know, I think kind of relates to social media and the next point that I want to make, which I don't think I've talked about since the first podcast, and I know you're probably like, Joe, hurry the fuck up, you're being very vague about how this relates to the interview, but bear with me. So the point I want to talk about is, like I said, I'm a young person trying to figure it out and expressing myself publicly through the platform of a podcast. And the only reason why I feel somewhat comfortable in doing this, or why I think it's worth it in some ways, is because I feel that, and, you know, this is something that Bo Burnham talked about in that podcast as well, and I'm pretty much paraphrasing what he said, but the only reason I'm okay with this form of expression is because I think that the more common ways in which young people publicly express and present themselves, such as social media, does not innately lend itself for allowing people to be authentic and honest. Nor is it a good platform for someone to give an opinion or have a conversation, because it's not a good place to publicly be wrong, because it's innately a limited means of expression. You know, with social media, people can more easily hide and present a version of themselves that isn't authentic. So less humanity comes through, less of your real self comes through. Therefore, people can't empathize with people who maybe they don't agree with. And I feel like young people are trying to solve several cultural revolutions at one time and solve really complicated issues through, you know, means that doesn't lend itself to nuance or depth. And it's not like I'm blaming people, because all people, or most people, want to and should express themselves, because that's the only way issues are solved, through conversation, through different opinions clashing together, you know, discourse. But, like, why would anyone think that it's an effective way to have a conversation about a complicated issue in under 140 characters? You know, and I feel like social media doesn't allow people to do what I just said, which is make people understand, or I hope I did, that just because someone gives an opinion doesn't mean that they're authority on it. Everyone could give their opinion about anything publicly now, but when people give their opinion through a platform that, you know, like I said, doesn't lend itself to nuance, then all the opinions just create noise that people judge superficially on a surface level. It lends itself well for people to be able to talk, but not for people to be able to listen. And I think that the podcast is a platform that lends itself more to allowing people to give their opinion in a way that isn't simplistic, but also listen and learn. So why I said all of this, I say some things in this podcast that may not be right. And, well, today on the podcast, I talk to Vanessa Tripona. Now, before I get into what I just said, Vanessa is someone from my hometown of Pequannock. She was a year behind me in school, and the last half of the conversation was the whole me not knowing if I'm right about things part. But the first half was me, you know, wanting to address some things that happened between Vanessa and I in the past, and really have nothing to do with what I just talked about, but kind of do, because I'm giving an opinion. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I wanted to address to her some things that happened between us in the past that she agreed to talk about on the podcast that I didn't think we'd be able to have a conversation unless we talked about them. So I'm being vague again on purpose, because I don't want to give away what that is. So that's going to happen. But actually, you know what? Before I stop talking about that, when I say we had to figure stuff out, you know, between us, obviously that means we had some conflict in the past. And, you know, conflict is innately interesting. So I don't want people to think that, you know, my attempts to resolve the conflict between us was just for the sake of sensationalism, but because I wanted to sincerely resolve the issues between us. And because I think that, you know, what happened is an example of something that young people can maybe learn from, But since I don't want to give it away, maybe I'll be more specific about what I mean by that in the outro. But anyway, so in the second half of the conversation, we talk about some things that are complicated. You know, things having to do with gender dynamics and dating, which I think is probably gender, I think is probably the most complicated social issue that I, in general, don't feel qualified to talk about, nor would I really want to talk about publicly, usually, because I'm a man and I innately don't know the experience of a girl. And I think the only thing really in a gender conversation that I should do is just listen and ask your opinion. So I wouldn't normally talk about that kind of stuff. But the only reason I felt somewhat necessarily okay with it is because we didn't talk about gender in a broad way, and we talked about something more specific that I thought I may have been somewhat qualified to talk about because of some of my life experience. But like I said, I could very well be wrong about everything I said. But isn't that okay? So here is Vanessa Tripona. Are you okay with that? You sit there.
Okay.
I'll just put it like this close.
Here?
Yeah, let me put my headphones on to see if it's good.
Okay.
Da 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 da. We're good.
Am I good?
Yeah, okay. You're good. I've never done it with a hat. That just got in the way.
Well, it's a good look.
Yeah, right? Thanks. So wait, what were we just talking about?
Me graduating college?
Yeah, did you just graduate?
Yeah, in May.
How'd that go?
So I was an intern at this magazine in Baltimore, and then she was like, oh, like, do you want to stay for the summer? I was like, oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day she said that, someone quit. So she's like, oh, do you want to stay forever? And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything else. But then she, like, took it away from me. And like,
well, what is it? Wait, so you went to school in Maryland?
Yeah, I went to Towson University.
Oh, that's a good school.
That's where Amy Schumer went.
So, yeah. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that why you picked it?
No.
Did you know of Amy Schumer pre-2015?
No, it was before she was famous. No, so every time, like, you know, did you get, like, with your college, like, a email newsletter type thing
Yes. Every
day?
Yes.
So every time Amy Schumer did anything, they would be like, Towson University alum, Amy Schumer went to brunch with her friends.
Wow, like, that must have, like, blown up once.
Yeah, I saw her. I saw her stand up for $15 back in, like, 2013.
How was she then?
Great.
You like her?
She was so good,
Big fan of her?
I like her.
I'm a fan of her as well.
Yeah, no, I was like, my dad used to be a fan of her, but like now that she's like getting political, he's like, I hate her.
She getting political?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I know she's related to Chuck Schumer, the senator, and she like did something about some issue that I'm forgetting that I should know. No, I wanted to say Alzheimer's, but that's Seth Rogen, so that's why.
No,
I
hers might
that.
Be, it might be MS because, you know, like her dad.
Oh, yeah, that might have been, yeah.
No, but he just doesn't like Hillary, and she's a Hillary supporter. That's really, he's a baby boomer, and the Republic, it's like very stereotypical. He has like a fake hip. It's like,
so he doesn't like Amy because Amy Schumer likes Hillary Clinton.
And she's getting political like with like her life.
Isn't she like a, what is it called? It's a word that has to do with pregnancy, but for some reason they do it with politicians and. It's like another word for advocate, a surrogate, she's a surrogate for Hillary Clinton. So wait, what is this, what was the internship?
Oh, okay, so you probably never heard, it's called Girls Life Magazine,
mm-hmm.
And it is just like a little publication.
Men's magazine?
Yeah, right? Our demographics, middle-aged men. No, our demographics like 10 to 16-year-old girls.
Hmm.
So it's like a little publication outside of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like based in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I needed an internship and I kept getting denied from everyone I applied to. And then they were like, oh, you can intern here. I was like, yeah, I got nothing else to do.
Huh.
So then.
What did you do for them?
Or
like, what do they do? It's like just like
It's an actual magazine.
But like, what is it for? It's just like for like, what is it?
It's like.
Is it telling girls that they're all amazing?
Yeah, essentially. Like, you know, like, you ever.
Empowerment.
Were you in Boy Scouts?
No, I was like Tiger Scouts, like the first level.
Did you ever
level,
get like you ever hear of Boys Life magazine?
Maybe.
It's like the Girls Life. It's like the middle, you know, like there's like American Girl magazine and 17 magazine.
Okay.
We're like the middle of it because it's like we talk about like, I don't know, like going to school, but we don't talk about like sex just yet.
Mm. Yeah, so by in the middle, you mean age group?
Yeah, age group.
What's Girls Life?
Girls Life is the one you are?
Yeah.
So what were
the
other two you said? American
17
Girl?
17 and like American Girl.
Is American Girl
doll,
older or younger?
Like American Girl dolls. Right.
17's
like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So what like the interns mostly do is like we like write content for the magazine, but I like the CEO like liked me. I don't know why, I guess, whatever. But so
what
I started,
don't know why.
I don't.
What is this? First of all.
Self-deprecation, that's my thing.
Yeah.
You'll learn that real quick.
I need to plug in my laptop. What's the self-deprecation? What's that all about?
Make fun of yourself before other people can make fun of you.
Mm, I know that.
You know.
Yeah, that's the
chubby kid thing. You know,
the elementary school. You got to be funny before they can be funny at you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it works though.
It really does. Yeah. Like, it really does.
Yeah, it disarms everything.
And then people are like, "Oh my God, you're so funny and great. Let me be your friend." I'm like. Yeah, be my friend.
Okay, well, so I want to just get right into explaining. I feel like you're nervous. Are you nervous?
Look at these hands. Of course I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous? I'm nervous, but like it's not that big of a deal. It really isn't.
It's not. But like I also just like I'm a very nervous person. Like,
why?
I don't know.
I'm a nervous person only when I like sing in front of people though.
Oh, really?
I feel it's very vulnerable.
Well, yeah.
So then like and I'm like not super confident about it. So then like it just gets.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you spend your whole life not being confident and then it just like ruins you.
Wow.
Fake it till you make it though. That's my mantra.
Right? Yeah. That's what you got to do. Just eventually if you practice confidence enough or fake confidence enough, maybe you'll just be confident.
Yeah. No, I was a communications major. So we learned this thing and you ever hear the power pose? So if you look at yourself in the mirror and just do the power pose, I think it's for like 5 minutes every day, you'll like become more confident.
Wow.
I've never tried it, but like textbooks say it works.
I haven't tested it. Well, can we get right into like, I want to figure out how, there's a thing looming over this whole interview, this whole conversation. And I, at first, like, when you messaged me recently about something, I'm being vague on purpose for a second. You messaged me recently about something, and then we had an hour and a half long conversation about something that is something you're working on that I'll explain more later.
Okay.
And then after that conversation, I was like, oh, this is an interesting girl. She's smart. She asked me interesting questions. And but there was something from our past involving two of us that we like didn't address when this thing just came up.
That's and another thing. I'm really good at ignoring everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good at that too. It was like, maybe she just doesn't care, you know?
It's like half that because of like the time frame.
Right. Because it's been so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was like, maybe she doesn't care.
That's like 10 years. Oh my God.
Well, it was like.
The first thing. Original thing.
Was like middle school and then it was high school.
That's gross. I'm old.
And now you're out of college. Like, no, 3 months out of college.
Yeah.
And I'm a month, year and 3 months. Right? Did I do that right? Did you just graduate in May?
Yeah.
4 months, 5 months, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Whatever.
It's September
I'm
right
agree
now.
With you, okay. You say, honestly.
No, don't do that.
Well, like,
you can't do that.
No, I was.
I know what you're saying.
Side thing though, like when we did like our thing, I was telling my friends about it, and I was like, yeah, like parts like got a little heated. Like I disagreed, he disagreed, and they're like, weren't you supposed to be unbiased, you idiot? Like you're not
unbiased.
To
be. No.
They're like, you're not supposed to argue with people you interview with.
No,
I'm like,
you gotta give your opinion. There's difference. There's impartial, and then there's people who bring themselves into the interview.
Well, yeah.
So it's either one works. I like the way you did it better than the way other people do it.
Life's like I just like having conversations. Yeah. You get more out of people. Like I feel like you said some stuff. Like if I wasn't, I don't know.
I want to talk more about that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Too.
Okay.
But no, I just want to because people right now, if they're listening, isn't live. But like if people right now are listening in the. Right now, they're probably like, what the fuck's going on? But so
weird ass people. Just
yeah, talk. No, it's
like
okay.
It's like an inside joke that no
so,
one's been on.
Yeah, but so and then I was like, I would like to have her on the podcast. She's a listener of the podcast, which I appreciate. You said you've listened to every episode?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I haven't met anyone who said they've listened
really?
To every episode.
That makes me sound weird. Now it's weird. It's going to be weird when people realize why you're having this conversation. Oh my God.
No, it's not weird.
No, I like got really into podcasts and then like I saw something about yours and I was like, I'll give it a listen.
I'm sure
and then like
people...
I said, like you interview people that I like kind of know and like I'm really nosy. So I was like, gotta see what everyone's up to.
Okay,
like,
yeah. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be nervous. So
I'm like sitting on my hands like
yeah. And then So I was like, if she listens, if she's interested, if I think she's smart, which I do, I would love, I would love to have her on. However, I don't see a way in which we could have a conversation on the podcast without addressing the elephant in the room. So
my 12-year-old elephant.
Yeah. So I was wondering if maybe we wanted to go from the beginning and work our way to when you just messaged me recently for what we're working on.
Okay.
So do you want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
And I also wanted to eventually like solve this whatever between us, and we're doing it on a public platform, which whatever, doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't matter to you.
No.
Okay, cool. So circa 2006, I think.
In like 2006, 2007.
My eighth grade year.
Yeah, I was in seventh grade.
Okay. So this is what I remember. I remember.
I'm not going to look at you. Because
no, just look at me. I'm a person. It's okay. I'm not whatever you fabricated in your mind of me.
That was half the problem.
Or like your idea of me. Most people are really quiet, so I'm just going to turn you down.
Oh, I'm really.
It's quite all right. I would love people to be more loud, but people, they come back like this and they're like, hey, how are you doing?
No, so they're like really far. So loud. Like, no, it's okay. Like I was the kid, it was like inside voices. Yeah. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
I wish I could be more loud. I've over time become more quiet because my family is so loud that I think anytime I'm loud, I'm bothering people.
Oh, no, all of public school before college, mm-hmm. I was quiet until like I was like this thing like where like, oh, like to my friends, I was like really loud and like had a big personality. But like I was a quiet person. Like you didn't know who I was.
Right.
Like it's just I was.
Well, OK, that has to
do. But you know what I mean? Like yeah. I was quiet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got to college and I found myself with my confidence and I was just like this, whatever. But no, but like I tell people that met me post high school, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, like. I was quiet. They're like, no, you weren't. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, yeah, I was quiet. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't talk to people.
You weren't quiet. You just chose to be quiet.
Because I thought.
You were loud.
Yeah,
you
I was loud.
You just chose not to be loud.
Yeah, that's.
You were loud inside.
Exactly, probably. exactly.
So, I'm going to go 2007, circa 2007, my perspective, and then 2011, my perspective, and then I want yours. So here, this. See, once I say what I'm about to say, you're going to realize it's not a big deal, and the people who are listening are going to realize it's not a big deal.
That's true. Maybe we'll see.
And you're gonna be shocked what my perception of 2007 is. My perception of 2007, I'm in a musical called High School Musical.
God bless.
It was a middle school production for Pequannock Valley Middle School.
Phenomenal. Should have won an award.
I played Troy. I could not hit the high notes. That has nothing to do with it, but I just want to say that. And
neither could Zac Efron, don't worry.
Yeah, they had someone else do the singing for him, right?
I honestly, like, good for him, because he didn't have to deal with, like, the fame, really, and, like, got all the benefits.
Yeah. I think Zac Efron's, it was his singing voice for the second and third.
It was.
That's way, I'm way more embarrassed. Not, I'm not embarrassed enough.
Oh, my God, High School Musical
that.
2 is cinema. It is cinema. No.
Like, okay, so, I'm in this musical. This is what I remember. There was a girl who I heard had a crush on me.
It was me.
And that was it.
That was it?
Right.
Oh, wow.
I remember a girl having a crush on me finding out who it is as a 14-year-old, never really doing or having any experience with a girl whatsoever at this time, very minimal, as an eighth grader, and being like, simply, no, I'm not into it. That was it.
Yeah.
And then... That's it. That's all I remember. Finding out a girl had a crush on me and being like, no, I don't know. That's it, right? So then around
this is the worst. 4 years. This is the worst thing.
So then around 4 years later.
Like, who did I think I was?
It's quite all right.
But like who?
Well,
who did I
so,
think I was?
So
like,
around 4 years later, I get this long Facebook message from a girl that was you.
Again.
And it was about what
the
happened
thing,
in the middle
yeah.
school. And things got revealed to me that I had no idea about other than that you were a person who I knew of that had a crush on me.
Mm-hmm.
That was literally all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out so much more. So what is... Before even if we don't, we don't even necessarily have to read the message.
I was so afraid on the drive over here. He's like, he's going to read it. He's going to make if me you, fucking
if,
read it.
If you want and I'm to. Gonna,
no, no.
You don't want to read it?
Like, I know what I said. Okay. I know what I said.
Okay, okay.
Or like, I know like the gist of what I said. And it was like, literally hold the goddamn drama. Like, who did I think I was?
Okay, so then, well, before you, the self-accusations, all right?
All right, listen.
So what is your interpretation? What, from your perspective, and it's probably the truth, what happened in middle school?
Like, I had a crush on you because you were Joe Cole and you looked like a Jonas brother and you were Troy Bolton in the play. And I just thought, like, you were just, like, phenomenal. Yes.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay,
and then
so after that,
I wrote you a note.
Right.
Saying that I had a crush on you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Probably like.
I don't remember reading the note. Or I didn't when I was a junior in high school and you sent me a message. I was like, what note?
Yeah. So I like wrote you a note or whatever. Like, okay.
I don't think like, I ever read it. If I got it, I probably threw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just like didn't take it from whoever gave it to me.
Yeah.
Do you remember how it got to me?
Low key think it was Jordan Lone. Low key think it was him.
Jordan Lone.
That little fucking squirrel. Low key think it was him.
You gave it to Jordan Lone.
I was like friends with him.
Right?
I don't know why I was friends with him at that moment in time.
Right.
But like, I think I was friends. I don't fucking know.
Okay.
And I was like, give this to Joe.
Do you remember what it said in the note?
I don't know. I think it just like said that I like liked you.
Mm-hmm.
I think honestly that was it. Or like probably something else dumb. I probably like tried to like sound better than I was and like was like, you're cute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So yeah, that's all. I don't remember getting a note from Jordan Lone. I don't remember there being a note. So then 4 years later, when this message came, so I also owe you an apology.
No, you don't.
No, I do. Because after you kind of put yourself out there and was vulnerable and like, obviously, at the time, whatever happened,
I was going through a phase, don't even worry.
Had a big effect on you. Like, I, as an immature junior in high school, didn't realize, like, wow, this girl just put herself out there about something that must have been bothering her for so long. I was like, oh no, controversy, awkwardness. I'm just going to deflect and pretend like I have no idea what this is.
Well, yeah, but
even
like,
though I knew, oh, that's the girl who had a crush on me.
Yeah.
But that's all I knew. So
yeah.
I didn't know anything else you said. So I could have been like, Oh, I knew you had a crush on me, or I knew you liked me. I'm sorry about what happened, or whatever. I could have said something.
But like, you
but
were,
what I said.
How old were you? How, like, it's not.
I was 17.
Yeah,
16.
So it's like, what are you like?
I know. There, I mean, yeah, I was young.
Some, like a shit.
I was
a
little
Facebook.
Shithead.
No, but like, I was a shithead. Like, let me send him this Facebook message and think he's gonna like.
So
I
do you want to summarize what the message said to some degree?
It just said like, you hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Like,
is that really all you want to say? Is that
no,
really?
That's what it said.
Well, pretty much you said that. Listen, if there's something that I say that you don't want to say, then you could take it out. But pretty much what you said is you told me about everything. You pretty much told me that you gave me a letter and that I never responded to you and that I ignored you and that it hurt your feelings.
Essentially, yeah.
And that, like, it had some emotional impact on you.
Yeah.
From there on.
Yeah.
And, but with a lot of other dramatization.
Like I said, like I was like this little shit that read too many young adult novels and like thought that I could like, I don't even fucking know. That's the writer in me, I guess.
So I guess my not acknowledging of you or me kind of not responding to the letter, like not necessarily like writing you a letter back, but like even addressing,
what did I think
like addressing it, like was me ignoring you and not even acknowledging you as a person kind of hurt your feelings.
I bet you it was like one of those things where like,
I'm gonna shut my door. Keep talking.
I bet you it was like one of those things where like people said like you like threw it out and made fun of me and like all that. It like probably was why that bothered me so much.
I could have, but I don't remember.
Well, yeah, but like, yeah, you're not gonna.
Really,
you know what I'm saying? And it's like one of those things where it's like, oh,
yeah.
Know? And then it's like you feel so like. Like a flick. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, you're not important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like when you're 12 and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. When you're young, you're more emotionally, your brain is more malleable.
Exactly.
You're overly sensitive to things.
And it's also like, I am a big movie and TV person. Mm-hmm. So I watched movies my whole life.
Not.
Yeah. You know, like,
it's
I'm a big.
To my poster.
Yeah. And like, big movie buff and I like to watch TV and like I like to read and stuff. So, right. you know, it's like you're molded your whole life about right. like, this is how it should be. Mm-hmm. And I was like sitting there like, it was, I don't know. I was just
so
like,
what compelled, I want to know like what, well, first of all, the thing I wanted to apologize to you about was that I knew that you were a girl who had a crush on me, but that was it. And then after you told me all the things that we just talked about, I could have apologized, but I said, I have no idea who you even are or what you're talking about, because I just wanted to be like, I'm just pretending like I don't know what any of this is, because I don't want to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So that is what I wanted to apologize to you for, because I can only imagine after putting yourself out there like that and then just getting like a wow, that probably validated your not importance.
Well, yeah, but like what...
But I mean, take my apology. Stop being so hard on yourself. Don't be... You're blaming... You're being a victim of yourself. Like, you think it's your fault, I think.
Like I said, who did I think I was?
Well, I mean, you're a person who felt something, and you were precocious as a child. Like, you put yourself out there. Like, that was something, like, more, like more ballsy than anything I would have been able to do as a 15-year-old. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't say anything to someone that I really liked. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like... So, like, I just, you did, you put yourself out there and took that big risk, and I just fucking shut the door in your face. But that's because I didn't know, I didn't have coping skills. Like, I didn't know how to, like...
And like you were 17.
16, yeah, 17.
Like, what did you care about? Nothing. Like, it's...
Yeah. It's true. Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't care about other people's feelings. Like, yeah. What the hell's that?
But, like, so I guess the reason I want to talk about this is, so what... I what as like what compelled you to write the message that caused it to be like 4 years later you're like I gotta get this out without you have we hadn't so then this
we never spoke to each other ever I did not say anything to you
like from when I found out you had a crush on me in middle school to 4 years later when you wrote me that message so like what. Like, was it a constant, like...
No. Okay. Oh, my God.
I was, like, so scared that I was,
oh,
like,
my God. No, I'm not that crazy. Destroyed my life. No, you weren't... There was other boys. Don't
okay,
worry.
Good.
No, that's what it was. It was, you know, I went to high school. And when I went to high school, all my friends got hot. And they all... and I stayed a troll. No, I'm just kidding. So all my friends got hot. And then they all, like... All these boys were having crushes on them, and like, everyone was getting these boyfriends. And then, you know, I was like, oh, I should maybe do this. I don't know. So then one of my guy friends, we, like, got really close. And this was the first boy that ever was, like, my friend. And we were really close, and we would talk all the time. And we would, like, I would tell him things. He would tell me things. We, like, hung out. And it was, like, the first time that, I like, a boy showed interest in me. And I was like, oh, shit, cool. So then... You know, wrote him a note. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, I did. I think I did write him a note. Who am I kidding? So
notes are fine.
I love writing notes.
It's great. Like, it's an effective way to just...
Side note, recently moved back home to my childhood bedroom that I've literally lived in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, cleaning and, like, throwing out shit and going through shit. And I found, like, every note anyone's ever, like, written to me.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, this is weird.
People
like,
write notes.
Oh my God, I used to write notes all the time.
I look through my like yearbook where people like write in my yearbook and I like cry.
Not even kidding. Like,
and I'm like, wow, I'm not friends with this person at all.
Oh, not even, or it's like, especially senior year, like people wrote things in my yearbook and I was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
You liked me as a human being? Like, cool. Like,
yeah.
And then I think, like, what is this person doing now? Like, nothing. Like, or like, I have not spoken to this person since they wrote this in my yearbook. Like, yikes.
Yeah. So you were the guy, you wrote him a note.
No, it was like, that's like, but no, like I essentially was like, oh, like I like you, like you like me too. Like, I know it, like let's date or something. And he was like, I'm not ready right now.
Right.
And like, I get it. Like, we were young. So I was like, yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, he strung me along and he was like we would be like really good friends outside of school. And then like, once we'd get to school, he would like ignore me. Like felt a lot of boys ignoring me. Holy shit. Mm. But it was just that. So then I like... I don't know. It was just like, and then it's like, I was 14, 15. Like, it's just, life sucks. Like, it just, it's one of those things. Like, either like life is great or life sucks. It's.
Wait, I was talking about what compelled you to write the note to, like,
to
the,
you? No,
the,
no,
the
this,
message.
Oh, the message. No. Yeah. Oh, the first note or
no,
the
message 4 years later.
This is, it's, I'm okay. Getting, okay. I'm okay, there. Okay.
I thought you resolved what you just said. I thought
no,
you
were no,
okay,
no,
continue.
No, no, no.
Sorry.
So then this boy, like, he broke my heart, man. So then I was, so then, you know, you get to thinking and then it's like, I like read this book. I don't. You probably haven't read it. It's called 13 Reasons Why. This is gonna get real dark.
13 Reasons Why.
So it's like a book about this girl, and she like commits suicide, and she has like these tapes, and it was like every person that like, whatever. It was like every person that didn't like make her commit suicide, but essentially like made her commit suicide. And then I was like really into like the buried life and like all this stuff that was. You never heard of the buried life? Oh my god! It's like this these group of two brothers and two friends. It's like four guys. They're really interesting. They like did this thing. So they wrote a bucket list of like 100 things they want to do before they die. It was a show on MTV. So what they would do is they would do something off their bucket list, and then they would help someone else do something off their bucket list. It was a really good show. I like met two of the guys. They're great. They have a book. Anyway, so I was like really into that show, and then I was like, I need to tell every person that ever hurt me that they hurt me.
Wow. Yeah. So I wasn't the only message getter, or was I?
I don't know. It was like probably like you, and like I like told my dad he was like a dick. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you know what I mean? Like
me and your dad.
No, and like other people too. I like just like I was like on a rampage, like, you hurt me, say you're sorry. Yeah, like
emotionally scar, I think is the word you use. You're very
Oh my god. Like what? Fuck, like you should have just ignored that shit. Like
I did.
Well, I mean
I did.
Yeah, you did. And yeah, but like,
then
I would...
you never messaged. So, tell me, be honest. What were your feelings when I sent that message back?
I just thought you were a dick.
Oh, okay.
I just thought you were a douchebag. Like,
I was.
Yeah.
Probably.
No, like, I just thought you were a douchebag.
Yeah. So, did you hate me for a while?
Like,
I guess. This is us. This is us trying to
hashing it out.
So, like, how long actively were you like, fuck Joe Cole?
No, it was just like
because you started listening to my podcast. Is there a reason you listened? Like,
no,
you still
I told
like,
you I'm nosy. No, okay. But it's like I like podcasts and like I said, like I know you.
Yeah.
I know like the people you interview. Like it was just interesting to me, and like I was like I'm into podcasts, and you're saying shit that I can relate to. So it's like not.
So
I'm not doing it like I hate him. So
yeah,
much
I was thought like
no,
maybe
what
like
the hell's
I need to learn
you?
Everything about him.
No,
so I can
oh my
kill
god,
him.
Did you think I was a psycho?
No, I didn't think you were a psycho. I don't think anyone's anything, but there's always the chance. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm not going
like,
to assume
like,
anything.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, you sent me that letter, but I was like, well, that was like she was in, but all those other things, she was in high school, so
yeah.
Like obviously
yeah,
she's not like that anymore. But and it was not like that anymore. It's not like that was
well,
bad.
No, I grew
it's not
up.
Like that bad.
I
yeah,
grew
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not a child anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not like I got like I always tell people like yeah I had a phase in high school. I got over myself. Like I got over myself. Like I realized like life's not that dramatic. Calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good
that's,
advice.
That's all. Like it's like nothing's that bad. Like even like I see people like I said like I interned at that magazine. A lot of the interns are like either like just going into college or they're still in high school and they like. Worry about this shit. I'm like, oh my god, it's not that bad. Like, calm down, crazies. Like, no. But then, like, I tell them like stories about like my crazy college, and they're like, oh my god, I want to be just like you. I'm like, no, don't. But
yeah, I just saw Louis C.K. on Thursday, and he has like a lot of great stuff about that. Like in his stand-up specials and in his show, there's a thing in his show where he like meets this girl who's like moving back to Europe in a month, and he like doesn't know what to do because he really likes her and she's moving, and he like asks this doctor who like gave him good advice about advice for, you know, that situation he's in. And he tells him about all these different diseases that could kill you and like make like, really like kind of like brutally and in a way that's really torturous. And he was like, and Louis just like, so why did you tell me that? And he was like, no one cares.
That's,
just
yeah.
pick a path
and, yeah,
and go
I think
down it.
I realized that. Like, I know it's like so cliche, but like in college, I realized like shit does not matter.
Yeah.
Like I like go out with like my, like I used to go out with like my roommates from college and like my best friends. And I'm just, I don't give a shit. So they're like, Vanessa, you're making a scene. Vanessa, you're embarrassing me. This, something, I think. I'm like, why do you give a shit? What like. That schmo over there who like is down in Jack and Cokes and doesn't even know his name thinks of you. Who gives a shit?
And that happiness is relative. He talks about that too. It's like later on in that scene, he like the doctor is walking a three-legged dog and he's like, look at this dog. How many legs does he have? And Louis like three. And he's like, look at his face. He's perfectly content. He's fine.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
you know, the only thing happier than a three-legged dog is a four-legged dog.
And,
so like, just if you have three legs and not four, he's fine. Like, there's just one other thing that's happier than him, but your happiness is relative to who you are, and, like...
Exactly. Like, you just, like, I don't know, get over yourself.
Yeah. Nothing's that big of a deal.
That's what I think, too. Like, even, like... Like, I was, like, nervous, but it's, like, then I'm, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Or, like, even when you said,
and
like...
And I'm saying this, like, I pretend, like, I have the answers to everything. I still get nervous. I still get worried. Yeah, I still get anxious.
Oh, 100%. Like, 100%. And even when you said, like, oh, like, I'm not bringing you on here to embarrass you. I don't want to be, like, shit, I do that myself. Don't even worry. Like, like, whatever happens in this podcast, I've probably done worse. Like, yeah. I went to college. Come on.
Yeah, there's some pictures somewhere, probably, or something.
Listen. Listen.
So no emotionally scarredness anymore. No, it's calloused over. We're good now. So then.
Yes, we're good.
Okay. So then, like, a month ago, I hear from you again. I see you on social media every now and then. I saw that you like my Facebook page, and then a month ago or 2 months ago, you messaged me about what?
I'm trying to write a book.
Is it really for a book?
I mean, it's like one of those things. Like, I'm a writer, you know, you always got book ideas. You always have article ideas, this, mm-hmm. that, and the other thing. So it's like, I gotta write it before I can know what it is. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I could write it and it could be two mm-hmm. pages.
Right.
That's not a book. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to, like, get it published somewhere.
You gotta do it to know what it is.
Exactly. Right. So, like, it could be a book. It could be an article. I don't know if it's, like, gonna be a personal essay, a thought piece, this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm. You know the best advice I ever heard about writing?
What?
Writing is writing.
Literally.
And not writing is
literally,
not writing.
Literally.
So do it. Or that's you don't all, do it.
Yeah, exactly. But I just like have to do it.
Yeah. So then you want to explain what it is?
So I'm writing this thing. We'll call it a thing because mm-hmm. I'm an adult.
You don't know what it is yet.
Yes. So I'm writing this thing and I listened to Joe's podcast and I was like, he kind of puts it all out there. Mm-hmm. So... And I'm trying to find men to interview mm-hmm. about, should I say, like, what, like, how I kind of lied to you at first? Or should I just, like, put it all out there? I didn't lie to you, but, like, I helped.
Well, no, you approached me that you said you wanted to write about, you know, like, modern romance and, like, kind of, that's it. Really.
Yeah, like, dating. And stuff.
Yeah.
With people around our age and just, like, not people around, even people around our age, just, like, kind of in, like, the times we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
How people date and like mm-hmm. how it's different from the past. And
so that's what you said to me.
That's what I said to you.
I just, the general idea of dating, and then it became something else.
Yeah, which is the actual idea that I didn't tell you. Because
okay, it's fine.
God, so admit, I'm honest with any human.
So what was that?
So like I've said 7 times in this podcast, I worked for a tween magazine
mm-hmm.
and one of our competitors is 17 magazine, and I was like flipping through looking for some shit, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped at this article, and it was this girl and was dating this boy, and the boy wouldn't tell anyone they were dating because she was fat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like...
How old were they?
Like 17, 18. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think, senior of high school. Mm-hmm. And it like really pissed me off, one, because I was like this little schmuck, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But like it was like really weird because like in the article she was saying like, we loved each other. Like, he told me he loved me and he cared about me and this, that, and the other thing. But, like, he, like, didn't take her to any school dances and, mm-hmm. you know, didn't tell his friends. And, you know, they wouldn't talk to each other in high school. And mm-hmm. it's like, wow, like, how can you be in love with someone but, like, not let a brother know that, like, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
like, and it was all just because he was, like, afraid of what his friends thought because she was overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was watching Louis, and then he had a whole episode on essentially the same thing.
So
kind of
the
not
fat girl,
really.
Yeah. Episode 3 of season 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up.
He won an Emmy for that episode.
Oh, did he really?
Best writing in a comedy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then I was like, all right. So I, you know, it was like the same day or like really close to each other where mm-hmm. I like those two things like
mm-hmm.
entered my life, I guess you could mm-hmm. say. And I was like, I have to do something about this because then there's shit in my personal life where like I was like, because, you know, you can't see me, but I'm a bigger girl. So, mm-hmm. and then I was like, and I'm a writer and I write better nonfiction as mm-hmm. opposed to fiction. Like
from
I
your point of view, kind of.
Yeah, I always tell people I can't make up a story, but I can fabricate a story that already happened to me really well. Like a lot mm-hmm. of the stuff that I write that's nonfiction. I'm doing air quotes.
60% you.
Yeah. I fluff it up.
Which most good writing is.
Exactly. So I thought like I should write something. But right. I was like, I can't just write like a whole article about like how boys won't date me because I'm fat. That's just no one's going to want to read that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I know my perspective of it. Mm-hmm. And I know other people, other females' perspective of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the male perspective. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to start interviewing men, hopefully to help me kind of have a more concrete direction of where this is going, and just to get mm-hmm. more ideas and kind of get not to the root of the problem, because mm-hmm. that sounds not
yeah.
good.
The root but of
the root of the, it, the idea. This, the yeah. root of my idea. Mm-hmm. So, and then I reached out to a couple people, and then like some stuff fell through, this, that, and the other thing. I got a couple interviews, and then I realized like I'm interviewing people I know. Like I'm interviewing I'm interviewing people I also had like history with. Like
I'm one of those people.
No.
Oh.
No. Just
like for closer people, friends than you mean? You
yeah, interviewed. like a boy that didn't date me because I was fat.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Wow. So I was like, I need to
How did you know that was the reason?
He told me.
Mm. When was this?
I don't know.
Probably. Straight up. Just was like.
No. It was like, he doesn't want to date me because he like doesn't want to introduce me to his parents or some shit. And I was like.
Whoa. When was this? College?
Yeah, in college.
So he said he liked you, but he didn't want to date you because.
He said he liked me, and it was like, when, you know, like we were hooking up, and it was like. Yeah. You know, like we would go on dates and hold hands and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. It was like that.
Yeah. And then
you wanted to make it serious, and he was like,
no, it wasn't even that. I was like, so like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. And he's like, oh, like I didn't know this was romantic. And I was like, the fuck?
So did you assume that was the reason?
No. And then I was like, well, why isn't it? And he was like, I don't want to introduce you to my parents.
He straight up said that.
Yeah. And I was like, why? I'm like, cool, right? And then he, like, said, like, it, you know, you're, like, a bigger girl and, like, they wouldn't accept you.
No way.
Yes.
What?
I don't know.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that.
He was not a good person anyway. Like, well, not even because of that. He was just, like, a shit. And, like,
so, okay. So that you interviewed him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was okay with that?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was.
When was that? And was it face-to-face?
Yeah. At Starbucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was fine. Because, like, we're still friends. Like, yeah. It's like.
How do you not put yourself into that? How do you not make it personal? Like.
Oh, it was 100% personal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I, like, probably called him a piece of shit in the interview. I have to, like, read back it again. Like, I honestly think I could call him a piece of shit. But, like.
Wow. Did you record it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, like, I, like.
So what was the outcome of that? What was your takeaway from that interview specifically? Like, when you walked away, what were you? What did you think?
I just thought, like he's a dick, but also, like, do a lot of people think this way? Like,
did he just kind of reaffirm what you already knew? Like,
he reaffirmed what I knew, and it was also like, but then he also said some other stuff, like, about like his personal life, and also like another reason, like, why he wouldn't date me, like, besides that,
because
he was like lusting after someone who had a boyfriend, and it was like this whole big thing. I was like, you need to get over yourself, like, right, she's right, never right. gonna date you, fuck off. But and then what did you say?
So takeaway,
so then I was like, I want, like, I like, is everyone, is this the whole, like, right, is right, this right. what everyone thinks? Because then this one, it wasn't really an interview. It was like me drunk at a bar talking to this guy. But I didn't record it, but I did, like, write shit down on my phone. Yeah. And I told him about, like, what I'm doing. And then he's like, I could never date anyone who is bigger than me.
Right.
I was like, why? And he was like, because when I was in high school, I was 130 pounds. I was like,
so? What?
Like, I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But right. then he said it was society.
Right.
Like,
right.
he does not want to date a bigger girl.
Right.
Because of society, because the way that he will get looked at if he dates a fat girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, does everyone think this way? Is this why I can't, like, you know? Or is it like, I'm just like a crazy bitch and, like, people are just like, oh, come down. You know, like, it's like, I don't know. So that's why. And then it was really interesting. So then, like, you had the podcast and you always talk about, like, dating and stuff on the podcast and how, like, this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, okay, like, maybe instead of, like, doing, like, asking him, like, would you date a fat girl, I should just do it with dating. And so I can get more perspectives and, you know, maybe start off, like, why, you know, it's not that people just, like, won't date bigger girls, it's they just don't date in general. But then we got into the conversation and, like,
that happened. Yeah.
That, yeah.
Well, I kind of want to try to have a bit of that conversation again, because it kind of caught me off guard not in a bad way. Like, I don't care. Like,
I know, dude. I felt so bad.
No,
reading it back, I was like,
no, it's okay. It's, don't worry about it. I actually recorded it too, so I listened back. I record everything. I just wanted to cover my tracks. Because I didn't know what your intentions were. So I just.
Oh my God, no. What do you think I was going to like expose? You thought I was crazy.
Like I said, what
you
thought
I was crazy.
I didn't think you were crazy. I said I cover my tracks. I plan for everything.
I
didn't think you had malicious intentions, which you didn't.
I'm too lazy to be
malicious. I also recorded it because I also just wanted to hear what I said again to make sure I didn't say anything stupid.
Yeah.
Which I probably did. But.
Don't we all?
Yeah. But like I wanted to, so how I want to start this conversation, if you don't mind having it again, like, is there anything from all the interviews that you've done and through talking to me, what is the kind of like thesis of like guys' relationships to girls who are overweight? Like, I remember you said something about like guys will fuck the fat girl, but they won't date the fat girl.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like what it is?
Yeah, kind of, because like I said, with the boy that I had, a fling, I guess you can say, with, it's like, you know, you had no problem sleeping with me, but once I, you know, wanted something more, you were like, like, you're fat, go away. But it's like, no, like, I wasn't fat when, you know what I mean? And then also, like, I don't, it's like one of those, like, it's like people still really care what their friends think of them. You know, not necessarily from what you said, but from like other people like really care. And especially in like, it's society. Like if in society, if you're bigger, like you're not deemed worthy of like love and affection and stuff.
It's a little overdramatic.
I'd sell it dramatic, but like, that's who
I am. So that's the reason.
But it's, I mean, from a female perspective. Yeah, it's dramatic, but sometimes it's the reality. You know what I mean? Like, I've literally, like, a boy would try to pick me up at a bar, and the minute I rejected him, he called me fat. Like, I wasn't fat when you were trying to, like, touch me on this, like, in this grungy bar. But the minute I said, like, no, I'm not interested, oh, I'm a fat piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Or, like, another time I, like, told this guy that was, like, too close for comfort. I was like, I have a boyfriend. And he said, you're too fat to have a boyfriend.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Did you have a boyfriend?
No. Did I have a boyfriend?
Well, so the thing is I didn't necessarily mind you catch me off guard because I felt as if I was in, like, a weirdly, like... I was weirdly qualified to like talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm someone who.
I didn't even think of that until you said something. And I was like, shit.
Yeah. I'm so.
Me. Like, yeah. I was like, I'm smarter than I think. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm someone. So, like, people on the podcast know I'm someone whose weight fluctuated and has like multiple times throughout my life. Like, my senior year of high school, I think I lost like 40 pounds. And then my senior year of college, I lost like 80 pounds. 85 pounds, I know.
Do you, like, look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, God.
Not anymore.
Well, did but you, like, at first, oh, were you, God, like, who is this person?
Oh, my God.
No, like, my cousin, he's, like, the same way, and he, like, has, like, the same build as you. And I remember, like, I have a real foreign side of my family. They're, like, really Austrian, so they're, like, no filter, very thick accents. And my crazy aunt, like, goes to him, like, half of you is missing. And he was like, thanks. Do people, like, say shit like
that? Oh, at first, people were, like, kind of actually worried because I lost it so quickly.
Yeah.
But it was just because it was just an abrupt, like, lifestyle change. But, like, people are used to it now, and, like, I'm not as skinny as I was. Like, I'm 15 pounds heavier than what I was at my skinniest, which was, like, way too skinny. Like, kind of.
Because it's not like you're, like, a short person. You're,
yeah,
like,
I know.
Very tall.
Yeah,
so.
I was, like, 6'2", 170, which is, like, not healthy. I'm, like, 185.
But it's, like, funny because, like, my brothers were wrestlers.
Yeah.
So, like, I dealt with, like, that.
My
whole life of, like.
Oh, yeah, Jude and.
Their names are still in that weight room in high school. That was the worst. Yeah. I would, like, be in the weight room for gym and, like, look up and it's, like, both my brother's names. And they'd be like, ha, Trapona! And I'd be like,
what's up?
I'm going to sit here and pretend to do things. Is that cool?
Yeah.
And, like, it was funny, too. Like, Coach Sika, like, he was the wrestling coach, and he did not know my first name for the life of him. But he knew me as Trapona.
Yeah.
So one time he, like, went up to me. He's like, hey,
Trapona.
And I was like, you've been in my house.
Like, that's hilarious. So, but anyway, I weirdly qualified because when the weight loss did happen, I definitely noticed a difference in the amount of sexual attention I got from the opposite sex.
Which is interesting, I think.
I mean, it's very interesting. And it was also in both, this happened both times where there was girls who, when I lost the weight, or before I lost the weight, I would have killed to get with, that when I lost the weight, tried to get with me, that I denied.
Look at you.
And like, it's
that's impressive though. Like, honestly, like if I was you, if like all those boys that were like, whatever, and then like tried, I'd be like, come on.
Yeah, it's a weird thing though, because like the thing that I said to you is like, it's weird that standards even exist.
Yeah.
Because like that, there's an implication that someone thinks they're better than someone else.
Yeah, and then it's like even that, like I'll like ask people, okay, like describe your dream girl, and then they will. Even though you didn't, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Bitter. Just kidding. But so it's like, describe your dream girl, and they will. And then I go, what if she was fat? And they're like, no, I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, like, are looks really important to you? They're like, no, like, I care about personality. I'm like,
I mean,
you're contradicting everything. Not even like contradicting everything you said, but like,
right.
But like, what? I don't know. But then you know, you say, they start off with like, would you sleep with her?
Right.
And it's like, yeah. Like,
yeah. Well, so.
But it's also, I guess, too, like, person to person is different too, because of like, you know, like some people are a little more, I guess, like a little more open to sleeping with people with no strings attached and stuff.
I think it's very complicated.
So complicated. Like, because, I'm really in over my head, but I'm trying my hardest.
No, it's okay, because it definitely is quantifiable. Like, it is, there is a way to figure everything out, I think. Because after we talked about it, I thought about it more, and because I found it interesting, and because I knew we were going to have this conversation, or wanted to.
Oh, I was
And I guess the thing is that, where do I even want to start? Is that people get used to the way they are and what they are able to acquire romantically. So it's kind of self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
Where if you are affirmed... Like, let's take, for instance, my friend Mustafa Elgar.
Listen.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
So, my friend.
Beautiful.
My friend Mustafa.
He's going to listen to this and be like, who the fuck? Even, like every girl in that damn high school, like, he walked in the hallway and, like, they got
Well,
chills.
Like, the thing is, like, he was someone who didn't really, like, come into himself until, like, senior of high school and was, like, kind of, like,
but
the weird
But that's
when
everyone
kid.
Was, like... Who?
And then in college, he was like, in college, he was the most popular kid in the school, like without a doubt. Like, he was
a big school. That's
he was the student body president our senior year. And everyone knew him as the kid named Mustafa, who is the good looking Egyptian kid.
Yeah.
Right. So like, he had this like reaffirmation himself, like because of people telling him like,
yeah,
you're a good looking person. So he's like, oh, I'm a good looking person. I have access to like other good, like good looking sexual partners.
Yeah.
So then if you get used to that type of like level of what you consider to be attractive,
yeah,
it can be complicated. And kind of what I mean by that is like, I don't know how to say this without it kind of maybe coming across crass. Whereas like let's take, for instance, there's like a 50-year-old guy. He's like 500 pounds. Never has had a sexual partner.
Okay.
Like, no girl has ever paid him any mind, right? If all of a sudden, and this is vulgar. If all of a sudden a girl came up to him and like touched his penis with her fingertip, he would probably come instantly.
Probably.
Regardless of who the girl is, right? Because he's not used to that.
Yeah.
So if a good-looking guy is used to a certain level of what society deems as sexually attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we get into a gray area too, because there is what society deems as sexually attractive.
Yeah.
And then there's what someone innately finds sexually attractive.
Yeah.
Whereas for me is like, I'm not used to any different type of girl in terms of how they would be classified by their looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've looked different. So I've gotten with different types of girls who look different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't have necessarily, this is personal. I don't have an innate sexual bias to fat people or to girls who are heavier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't, that's not like a deal breaker for me innately sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Like my ability to actually do it.
Well,
like,
that's another thing too. Like the.
Right. But
like,
I think
like,
there.
My thing too is I feel like.
But the last thing, I okay. think there Sorry. Are no. I think there are guys who innately don't like it. Doesn't do it for them. Like they're used to a certain yeah. level of girl that like it's that thing of like that guy isn't used to anything. So
yeah.
So like someone like Brad Pitt, if he's used to like tens, like if he's used to like supermodels,
yeah.
like if there's like a decent looking girl who comes up to him and he doesn't find that attractive, like it's because he's like used to a certain, and that even in itself sounds so fucked up, but it's like, it's yeah. true. I feel like that's biology. I'm not like a
Bill Nye over here.
Yeah. But like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean too. But it's like funny too. Cause like I talked to a guy that only likes bigger women and
is he bigger?
No,
mm-hmm.
he's like very, very average.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he was saying to me, like, it's like not the same, but he was like, sometimes I felt like it was like I was gay. Like I.
Right.
Like, because I had to tell people, like, he's like, I had to like come out to my parents.
Right. I like fat
that
girls.
I like fat girls.
Yeah. That's another thing that we talked about is that sometimes if you're heavier, it means it could be seen that you're more masculine. So like guys kind of can get afraid that it is not masculine to be with a heavier girl.
That's why I wear so much makeup. Like.
It is. It's just so complicated. And then the other thing was like, we talked about like the stigma between, and I don't want to sound like I was a victim when I was heavier, because you even said there is a stigma where it's like, oh, it from a romance perspective, it's more okay for a guy to be heavier than mm-hmm. it is for a girl. And that is 100% true.
Yeah.
And I said to you, if you saw like a really, really heavy guy walking down the street holding hands with like a beautiful woman, what society classifies as a beautiful woman,
mm-hmm.
people may be like, wow, like she must like heavier guys. But it would be weirder if it was the other way around.
Yeah, and people would be more okay with that. Mm-hmm. They'd say like, oh, he probably has a really good personality or like a lot of money or mm-hmm. like... is great in the sack.
I mean,
or
but
shit.
Like Woody Allen. I mean, but like what's that movie? Diane Keaton, Woody Allen. It's freaking his best movie ever. But like I'm gonna get made fun of so much. I own it. Annie Hall. That's the schlubby Jew with like the pretty woman.
Yeah, but like not many schlubby Jews get pretty women. That's like
no, that's what I'm saying.
Literally
that's
every what I'm saying. So, yeah. There's so many plot lines like Sex in the City yeah, and like
that's the same thing with Knocked Up. Like they I remember there was a big critique about the movie. It was like Seth Rogen would never be able to get with Katherine Heigl. And yeah. he was like,
no,
do
oh
you
God.
Look outside? There's
yeah.
like
oh my God.
Plenty
my,
of like
my dad I'm talking about my dad again. He yeah. gets so mad. He's like, how come there's all those sitcoms where the fat guy gets the hot chick? I'm
yeah.
like, I don't know, Dad. Move like
look outside. Like, it happens.
It
all
does.
The time.
It does. We went to high school with like mm-hmm. schmucks were dating these tens. I'm like, what are you doing? He's not even a good person, and mm-hmm. he looks like a whatever. I sound like a bitch.
But no, it's okay. But then I remember I talked to you. I was like, it is also more socially acceptable for a guy to be heavy than a girl to be heavy.
Yeah.
And there is a higher percentage. I looked this up after. There is a higher percentage of overweight men than overweight women.
Oh, really? But it's like you said, it's okay.
Because
like,
it's more okay.
Yeah.
So like there is an unfair stigma.
Well, yeah.
With girls. So I don't know what else like I wanted to say about that, but I just wanted to say like
it's also interesting. And like I said, like I'm a little in over my head because it's such mm-hmm. a vague thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is I'm going to keep interviewing people and mm-hmm. hopefully get it narrowed down to where I can have one concrete thing
mm-hmm.
to speak about. And, you know, obviously like add my own personal stuff to it and then mm-hmm. stuff from other people. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's rough. I always tell people it's like a real rough stage. But
what like, oh, you mean
the writing,
right.
actual project I'm working on.
So what like what is where are you at now with like because like this whole idea like where you said fat people can't find love is like
yeah.
I think there's someone I mean not necessarily
not that they can't find it, but it's not that even that it's more difficult, but
it's hard because this is something that I talk openly. Like there's the things that you would say about this type of stuff with like your friends and like,
yeah,
which is what your perception of like the reality of the situation is that like, if you would say it publicly could come off maybe like a little like not okay to say it. And, but
well, that's my, like,
yeah,
I say a lot what's on my mind. I'm very blunt.
Right.
As you can
But the
tell.
Thing that I wanted to say is like standards is a thing.
Yeah.
And like, I feel as if sometimes people have an unrealistic perception of like who they could get as a sexual partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucked up that that's even a thing.
But like you know my whole, saying? but my whole thing is, it's like I have these men that like, not, oh god, but, you know, you have these men that'll sleep with you, or you have these girls that'll sleep with you, mm-hmm. and they won't date you
mm-hmm.
because of your size.
Yes, and that's
so. The where thing. Were the standards when, you know what I mean?
Well, like so, but you are aware that there's a thing where guys would. Guys will fuck more. The guys will be more willing to fuck a girl than they are to a than date.
Yeah,
because that's more like that's a bigger deal.
Them, no.
It's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
So like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I just.
And I wasn't saying that you have.
Oh no, because
I don't even know like what guys you've ever tried to. So like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what your standards are or what your perception of your standards.
Really high standards.
And it's
like,
it's just,
if you don't look like Zac Efron,
you're nothing. I feel weird even having this conversation because, like I said, standards implies that people think they're better than them.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, why? Like, you know, you have such a good personality. Mm-hmm. You're so pretty. You have such a good personality. You're a great person, mm-hmm. this, that, and the other thing. So mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. okay.
Right.
So why can't my standards be high?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good time, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm funny. Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
what, I'm kind of smart, like, I don't know, like, like, I'm really, like, I can shotgun a beer in 3 seconds, like, you know what I mean? Like, I got stuff to bring to the, I know, oh my god. See, that's how you get the frat boys. Mm. You try to beat, like, you emasculate them by shotgunning faster than them. Mm. So yeah, like I got stuff to bring to the table. So like, how come my standards have to be low just because what I got a few extra LBs? Like,
mm-hmm.
that's what interests me.
Unfortunately, we live in a reality where, I mean, you even said it. You're like, I hate even saying it. Where you deemed Mustafa as beautiful,
exactly,
and because he is,
yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
There's a thing where Nietzsche. I remember listening to this interview. Do you know who Nietzsche is?
He's
whatever. I don't even know what he was.
I think it was philosophy, but like
psychology.
I was about to be like, I took a psychology.
He had a thing where he said, the only absolute is beauty, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning the only thing that there is like that is definable or like identifiable as beauty is like that's beautiful, that isn't.
Yeah.
And then there's people who say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, like, there is no, like, real answer.
Yeah.
But there are people that we have, like, kind of assigned as attractive and not attractive.
And that's, like, another thing fucked up. Like, say, like, I start walking down the street with, like, a Zac Efron lookalike.
Mm-hmm.
People will be like, what's wrong with him? Why did he lower his standards so much?
But that's what I'm saying. We live in a world where that is a thing.
Yeah, but, like,
so, like, to
why?
Say...
Like, it's so...
To say, like, I should be able to have anyone.
Yeah.
I like, no one could have anyone.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
But it just, it's, like, interesting to me. Because, I don't know, like, why is fat not beautiful?
I don't know.
You know, like, it's.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's, like, I don't know. I really don't know what I'm doing. Like.
You should, like, interview, like, sociologists,
yeah.
I think, maybe. Or, like.
Someone that got more degrees than I do, honestly.
Yeah, someone who knows more than I do.
Yeah.
But I think the is like an interesting thing to write about, and I think the way in which you put yourself out there and like your openness about everything would lend itself to like some type of interesting work.
Yeah, that's yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were saying too with the whole like standards things and like how you're talking about like, you know, Stabby's good looking so he knows he can get like whoever he wants and this and the other thing and like mm-hmm. that's where like
but not everyone.
Well, yeah.
Not anyone he wants.
Well, yeah, for the most part. But so and it's also like that's the whole like self-deprecating thing too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're deemed your whole life you can have this.
So you're reinforcing this, it to yourself.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, you make you say it before anyone else can. And I also like my whole like I have a brother that is very, very fit mm-hmm. and very good looking. Mm-hmm. And people think, you know what I mean? And then mm-hmm. they like, I walk in and I don't look like him. That's the biggest thing, too. Like, mm-hmm. I do not look like either of my brothers. Mm-hmm. I get asked if I'm adopted all the time. And people don't believe me when I say they're my brothers.
Mm-hmm. Is your hair naturally blonde?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm the only blonde one in my family. I'm the only pale one in my family.
Hmm.
And so I'll like, I always tell this story. So I walked into Hollister with my brother one time. I have a really, like I said, the good looking brother. Mm-hmm. And the dirty looks I got from everyone in there were like astounding. Because they thought that was my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what is this like person doing with this like other person? Mm-hmm. And then like, it just interests me. And I'm like, this is my brother. Like, that's gross. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just people don't believe we're from the same family just because he's really like fit and handsome and this other thing, and because I'm chubbier, like they just, I don't know, it's just weird. Mm-hmm. That like just because I'm fat, like I can only associate with bigger people. Like, I don't, it's weird. Mm-hmm. I don't, and yep. that's what's interesting to me, and I just want to know like other people's perspectives of it. Mm-hmm. And what, like, I'm not sure what the end result's gonna be, but who mm-hmm. does when they're doing right, anything
right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's interesting. I would love to know more about that, because like I'm thinking about it more, and it's like, weight isn't the only factor in like what makes someone good looking. I mean, I think the face has a lot to do with it, like general attraction. Yeah. But then like, see, this is the thing I've noticed too, when I lost weight, is I used to have like a chubbier face, mm-hmm. like, and like neck. And then like when I got skinny, people would like compliment like my face structure. They'd be like, oh, you have nice cheekbones.
I didn't
know
and I like, had
that. A jaw, nice jawbone. Like, why is that, like, sexually attractive?
Yeah.
Like, you know, then more, I just had, like, a chubby face and, like, no neck, and now I do. And, like, people find, like, what? So, like, it's not, nothing changed except.
Exactly.
The and, fat like... on my face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I guess the face is a big component, too. And, like, part of that is, like, bone structure and other weird things.
Yeah.
So, I don't think weight is really the only factor.
Oh, 100%. And I'm not saying weight's the only factor either, yeah. But...
Face symmetry, isn't that a thing? Like...
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they say, like Denzel yeah. Washington had, like, a perfectly
symmetrical... Yeah, if you're, symmetrical... like, if your face is, like, perfectly symmetrical, yeah, yeah. then you're, like they said that, like, the most beautiful girl in the world, her face is, like, perfectly yeah. symmetrical. I don't think it's
like,
that cute.
So, like, I feel like there is, like, people who are scientifically good looking.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. But
that might still.
But it's also, you know, what you, I guess, what you prefer and like what you deemed, what mm-hmm. you, you know, standards. How, like, this is an example.
Mm-hmm.
So, 21 Drum Street, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
So, me and my roommate.
Channing Tate, yum.
Me and my roommate have very different tastes in men.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's not my roommate anymore. So sad. But
you were a Channing Tatum guy and she was Jonah Hill?
Nope, uh-huh. I was a Jonah Hill and she was a Channing Tatum. Guess who was skinnier? Like, you know, it's like yeah, funny. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I would, like, if I would go first Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Because I like his personality and I know that he
would. Do you find him
like,
attractive, though?
I do.
Okay. You find him sexually, physically attractive?
Yes.
That's good.
I find anyone so. Who am I kidding? Like.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what was I going to say? Oh, God, I forget what I was going to say. So continue. That's just all you were going to say?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, But, like, say I'm at a bar and mm-hmm. Channing Tatum's there and Jonah Hill's there. I'm going to try to go for Channing Tatum, get rejected, then I'm going to go to Jonah Hill and bring him home. It's, like, one, it's like a weird, like you said, standard. So mm-hmm. But then it's, like, weird, too, because I see, like, you know, if you, like, did a lineup of everyone I've ever slept with, they all look so different and they mm-hmm. all have different body types and they mm-hmm. all have different personalities and they mm-hmm. all have different this, that, and the third.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what do you, like, have you, like, every person that you sleep with, are they all the same?
Mm-hmm.
Some people, yeah,
mm-hmm.
but some people no. So, like, what are, like, different standards or perspectives and, like, mm-hmm. and like you said, sleeping with someone and dating someone is totally different, but, like, that's another component, too.
And then, yeah, with alcohol, like, people kind of...
Got them beer goggles.
Yeah, go out of what their normal, like, standard
Yeah, I try
is.
To pick up the Brad Pitts, you know?
Yeah. But, like, I guess the one, because we're over an hour.
Oh.
It's quite all right. It's normally an hour, but if it's longer, it's great. I guess, like, what the takeaway is like,
what
if...
What did I even say? Like, do you ever do that? Like, you ever, like, have a conversation with them? You're like, what did I even say that was this long? Did I just, like, cackle for 3 hours? Like...
No, it was great. It was fun. I'm glad we got to do this, because closure. You know what I'm saying? But I guess the takeaway is, if, like, if you're a guy who, you know, is sexually attracted to... like girls who are heavier, don't be ashamed of it.
Yeah,
if it does it for you, it does it for you.
That's another thing too, like it's like why do you give a shit what other people think of your girlfriend? They're not sleeping with them,
like I just said before.
They're not dating them.
Yeah,
you know, like yeah. Why do you give a shit?
Like I just said before, I said that I don't necessarily have an innate sexual bias towards heavier girls, but I do sexually prefer less heavier girls. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't have bias towards heavier girls, I prefer, and that might be because of societal, you know, influence. But I also think it's an innate thing that just whatever it is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, you can so the reason I said that is like, because I said before, if you enjoy heavier girls, like, don't be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
But there
if
is,
you don't, it's not a, the end of the, I'm not
they're
saying,
all people who like everything.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying, like, you're an asshole because you won't fuck a fatty. Like, no, I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
it's fucked up. It's up that, I don't know, like, people are deemed less worthy just because of how they look. Like, as cliche and dumb and, you know, all this shit is, that's just my, that's what I think of, that's my thought of it, and that's kind of what I'm, the message I'm, I guess, attempting to address. That's the, you know, I had, you know, I was a creative writing minor, so I took a class, and it was a nonfiction, and, you know, you always have to have, the, like, the essayistic question, like, what question are you answering with your work? And it's, you know, like, why is we live in a society, or, like, why people, like, won't date fat girls, it's not the other thing, but it's, you know, the answer is, you know, people have their preferences, and people do this, that, and the other thing, but it's okay if your preference isn't what everyone else is, and isn't what, you know, your friends, your family, like, you just, you gotta do you. That's, like, my biggest thing, like, do you, and then fuck everyone else, like.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's all we got.
Yeah, I've been babbling.
It's quite all right. I appreciate you doing this.
No, thank you.
I appreciate it. It was very brave to, like, confront me and, like, not knowing me and, like, not really having spoken to me after everything that's happened. So, and I appreciate you coming on and talking about everything.
Oh, no, thanks.
And I hope one takeaway is that if you're in high school or if you're in college or in your middle school and your brain isn't fully developed and you think something in terms of romance is, like, the biggest deal, it isn't. And don't beat yourself up about it.
Shit's not that bad.
Shit's not that bad.
It's just, it's not that bad.
Cool. Well, oh, wait. We usually end with hopes for the future, as you know, if you listen.
I do know.
And then people are usually like, what?
They're like, I want
to travel.
I'm not, like, I have a very irrational fear of airplanes. Like,
my dad does too.
Oh, my God. I got to be hot.
Are you a control freak generally?
No. I just don't,
there's,
like,
a lot of people who, like, need
I just,
control.
Like, don't, like, I have no survivor skills.
Right.
So, like, if that shit crashes, I'm done. Right. I mean, like, I'd be done. But, like, I, and, like, I don't, you know how, like, the wing, like, moves?
Right.
I know that's, like, supposed to happen, but I'm just, scared. Like, staring at the whole time, like, oh, my God, I'm going to fall off. Like, I'm going to die. And I don't know. I just got to be hopped up on a lot.
Zans. It's so just, future. It's, write this book.
Write this book.
And just
realize, this is gonna get deep, my drama. Realize that I am a lot better than I think I am.
That's good.
That's all I got.
Well, I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Okay, that is it. Never mind about talking more specifically about what the takeaway is between me and Vanessa's conflict. I think I said it pretty well at the end there. You're emotionally upset about something that is happening while you're in high school, don't be, because you're going to realize 5-6 years later that it doesn't matter. And that is it. Thank you to Vanessa. Like I said, thank you for doing that and being vulnerable and letting me resolve that stuff with you. I really appreciate it. Thank you to everyone who's listened. Please like the Facebook page. Go to our website, That Millennial Life. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Leave a rating or a review on iTunes. I got some more interviews lined up, so I should have an episode next week. I will talk to you all then. So long.